Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Engaged Family Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Dutzman, as always. This is the official destination where we delve into the finest video games and board games, perfect for you and your family. If you're a geeky parent, eager to share gaming moments with your kids, or just hunting for family-friendly game recommendations, you have come to the right place. I'd like to introduce you to our incredible team of hosts that help make this show possible. First, we have John Tomlinson, the man behind the curtain.
Hi, everybody. Before I go, if someone could in the chat could choose which build this evening.
It is
Mega Mom.
Mega Mom gets the pick. It's either Wolverine or Groot. You get to pick.
Yeah. Wolverine's first, claws or Groot.
So first comment in the chat will decide it. Next, we have Jeff Walker hailing from the frozen north.
It's so frozen it rained today.
And it'd be like that. And then Linda Roble, the Mistress of Magnificence, formerly known as Mom. Not formerly. We didn't change it. Formerly.
Mom. I will be
known as Mom. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great.
All fun and games until Mom shows up.
It is all fun and games until Mom shows up. You know what? Mom.
And it's more fun and games.
Then it's more fun and games. And then, exactly, then it's just games. And then, last but not least, my very best friend in the whole wide world, Amanda Farrow, our very own princess of power. Amanda, how are you?
It's podcast day. Podcast day is always a good day.
It is, in fact, podcast day, and podcast day is, in fact, always a good day. So I will, yeah, I believe you. It's great. We did get a pick in the chat, John. Mega Mom chose Groot. Loving it. We will show that off at the end. So before we dive into the episode, a few housekeeping notes. Amanda's written a bunch of books. There's going to be notes. There's going to be links in the show notes. We produce a digital magazine quarterly. Linda and I are preparing for the next issue, which we'll be working on very, very soon. We actually talked to our friends over at Runaway Parade for our big feature in the next one. I guess spoilers. So then lastly, every other week, on the weeks we don't play this, we have Coils of Destiny. That's our family-friendly Dungeons & Dragons live play that continues next week. What will our adventurers do? I don't know. We'll find out. So now that our introductions and housekeeping is out of the way, let's dive into today's episode. First thing we do, and I promise I'll stop talking, is we recognize there's tons of negativity, tons of bad news, all sorts of reasons to be upset. We're going to push all that aside for now, and we're going to all share one thing that we are unironically excited about and or happy for. And so we're going to start. I don't know. Who wants to start? I'm going to go last.
Linda, if you want.
Yeah, Linda, you go for it.
All right, so I am extremely excited because I got the email from one of the backer kit game sets that I had backed oh so many months ago. I got the shipping email, so I should be getting three new games quite soon. So I backed, this is from 21st Century Games, Agueda, Color Field, and Donut Shop. So those three should be coming to my house very, very soon. So very excited.
I signed my, speaking of backer kits, I signed my backer kit for the Hello Kitty game today.
Yo.
So I'm getting multiple copies of the Hello Kitty game, because that's what you did if you backed it on day one. You got two copies of it. I don't know what I'm going to do with this other copy of this Hello Kitty game. Maybe I'll give it away to a member of the Engaged Family Gaming community. We will find out. In fact, I will definitely be giving it away to a member of the Engaged Family Gaming community. Next, Jeff, what do you got for us, buddy?
So what I am excited about this week is, so this weekend I was walking through Target, and can I just say I love how Target has kind of changed its motif, where it used to be just basic home goods, you know, the fancier than Walmart, where now they're kind of going towards nerd culture, because as I was walking by the book section, I picked up this book.
Game
Master's Book of Astonishing Random Tables. It actually had like a whole shelf of different D&D books and I just had to pick this up. But I just love how Target's kind of catering to this crowd now. I mean, out of all the big department stores, they have the best board game section.
It's true. It's really true. We've talked about that before, that Target really has kind of cultivated that market. It used to just be Soccer Mom Central, and now the soccer moms who happen to play Dungeons and Dragons can also partake.
That's a good way to put it. Let me just say, I wasn't quite so PC when I text my friend about what Target has changed from into nerd culture.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you didn't go there. So that line of books, by the way, is so the astonishing, like that line of D&D books. What's interesting is a lot of the content in them is not specific to Dungeons and Dragons. So it is a lot of stuff that you could use. It's system agnostic is the word that I was looking for. I don't know why I couldn't come up with it, but it's system agnostic. A lot of it is. So I think it's very cool. I have multiples of them. I particularly like the one that is not system agnostic is the one that's all about traps and puzzles. But like, as someone who's not really good at coming up with interesting puzzles, that book has given me like a lot of really interesting things to do, puzzles to use, and designs traps that are fair, which I think is really hard to do in Dungeons and Dragons.
And can I say their next book in the series, I didn't realize it was a whole series till I texted you, Steve, and you told me about it. So I went on Amazon to look at the whole series. They have a new one coming out in February that's not even, well, it's tied to RPGs, but it's not like how to play them or random tables. It is titled Everything I Need to Know I Learned from RPGs, A Player's Handbook for the Game of Life.
Oh, well, that's going to be interesting. I might have to take a look at that, and maybe we'll talk about it a little bit. So, next, Amanda, what's your good news?
Well, my good news for the week is that we are finally getting the basement fixed. It has been sitting in limbo now for well over a month. So that's very exciting. And I just confirmed today that I'm going to be taking two narrative design and game writing courses at the same time. So,
I mean, that's very good news, but also like, man, you're going to be busy.
I'm going to be busy.
You're going to be busy. But you know what? That's good news. We love it. Because mm-hmm. We love a busy Amanda because it means that lots of cool stuff is going to happen as a result of it. John, what about you, bud? What's your good news this week? I always feel bad going after John because like John keeps coming up with like good news. That's like really like, hey, you know, had life changing surgery, lost a lot of weight. Hey, I got engaged. Yeah. Hey, I moved in with my girl, like that kind of stuff. So it makes me look like, but you know what? I'm not saying I'm not happy for him. I'm just saying it's weird for me to go after him. But anyway, John, how are you going to make me feel bad about my good news this week?
I bought a 4070 gaming card, so like
just because I can. You're going to upgrade. Yeah. You're upgrading your PC. Listen, we're going to have to do some PC upgrades at some point here just because my oldest son, he raids with me in World of Warcraft and
it's chugging.
We're at the point now where it's certain bosses in raid, it just crashes depending on the, like certain mechanics just shut off his computer. And that's not what mechanics or bosses for raids are supposed to do. They're supposed to like challenge the player, but they just shut off his computer. And it's just, I think it might be time. It might be time. We'll figure it out.
Give me a budget. We'll go on PC part picker.
It's really just a matter of the knowledge, know-how and will is not the problem. You know, but we're going to get there. It's going to be okay. Okay. So for me, my good news, I have absolutely been loving the level of engagement on the weekly recap post that we put in the EFG community. So every Monday in the afternoon, I ask, you know, like, hey, what's everybody been playing? You know, what kind of games did you play over the weekend? Video games and board games. And it is every week I see interesting stuff, you know, not only from this crew, which, you know, I talk to all these folks pretty regularly, but, you know, every week we get a new person kind of popping into the comments and talking about what they or their kids play. We've got people sharing pictures. really a great time, and we're kind of discovering new. I've discovered a couple interesting new games just from listening to it. So if you're not in the Engage Family gaming community, you should join it. And we'll have a link in the show notes because we have a good time in there. And I have it on good authority. We're going to start doing giveaways in there this year. I have two lined up for February and March. So, well, I mean, one lined up for February. March is whenever that Hello Kitty game comes in. But you know what? I bet you we can figure something out. So that's my good news. I'm very excited. The community is getting more engaged, and a more engaged EFG community. It was already pretty engaged to begin with, but even more engagement, better for everybody. Because I like talking games with fellow nerdy parents, obviously. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing this show. Right?
Yep, true.
Let's talk about what we played this week. We're going to start with Linda. Linda, what did you play this week? I'm very excited about what you. I actually know. So,
yeah, you know, because we've been maybe texting back and forth and possibly already have pictures. So, when we went to PAX Unplugged, one of the games that came home is Age of Wonders: Planetfall. Now, I had never heard of this prior to getting this in my hot little hand.
My and game. Like, it's a video game. I loved Planetfall.
I didn't know that. So, yes, Age of Wonders Planetfall actually came out in, I think it was 2019. It came out in 2019 on PS4, Xbox, and Steam per my research, because I had to look it up. And it's part of a series. There's been a couple other Age of Wonders games, mm-hmm. and I knew nothing when I played the board game. I went in cold. On purpose. And then after we played it, then went up and looked at the history. I knew it had been based on a video game, but I knew nothing about it going in. And you don't need to know anything going in. So what's really cool about the board game is taking some of the different races and different characters that are in Age of Wonders, Planetfall, and it takes the different planets that you're exploring or some different planets, and it has you go through. It's played in rounds. And you're doing a mix of drafting, you're doing a mix of worker placement and resource management to get these cards. And what's really great is I was at first nervous because the instructions were very, like there was quite a lot of pages, but because they went into so much detail, it really wasn't complicated. We jumped in, we did the first round and we're like, that was it, we got it. And then we just through and we're done with the seven rounds in probably about 40 minutes. It went really quick and we really enjoyed it, knowing nothing about the game. I think if you have the experience playing this on, you know, your Xbox or your PlayStation or on Steam, you're going to enjoy the different races and different, you know, details they put into this that parallel back to the game. So I think they did a great job with it. We really enjoyed it from Arcane Wonders.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and the artwork is gorgeous. Yeah, so Amanda, what's really funny about this is we went to our appointment while we were at PAX Unplugged, and as soon as I saw this box, I looked at Linda and I was like, "This is Amanda's thing," because it's based on a 4X game, and we know that of the five of us, Amanda is the 4X queen.
I am indeed.
We'll get to that, shockingly enough, today.
We'll
get to that. It's actually going to come up. We're going to come to that. Yeah, listen, the art is really cool. Yeah. This is
fantastic. I don't know these characters, but it's like, obviously, if you play the game, you're going to have, you know, connections to them. But, you know, again, as someone that went into it completely cold, just knowing that, hey, it's from this video game that's out there somewhere, I still enjoyed it a ton. So I think that speaks a lot to the game. That even with no, you know, nostalgia or no connection to the original story, the original characters, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this is one of those, I can't wait to play it. I do love, you know, it's a drafting game, you know, it's a space thing. I dig it. The art looks great. I saw it on a stream is how I found out about it. And what's really interesting, hey there, well, that name looks familiar. Wallstormer, is that?
That's Josh Boykin.
Hey, Josh Boykin. Welcome to...
Josh is a friend of mine.
Well, thanks for coming and hopping into our stream. And yeah, he streams on Twitch, but it's not Wallstormer, right?
Intelligame.
It's Intelligame. Yeah, that's right. I pop in and stream.
Heck yeah.
He streams late at night and plays some really interesting games. And so I like to pop into there.
Incredible discussions, yes, by the way.
Absolutely.
About the culture, about the narrative, about all of that great stuff. Josh is incredible. Go watch his stuff.
Yep. Great dude. So, very excited to get my hands on Age of Wonder. The good news is I know someone who owns a copy. So it shouldn't be all that hard. It's right there. It's right up there. So, Jeff, you, what did you play this week? You're muted, but also, what did you play this week?
Are you sure I'm muted?
Well, you were for a second, and now you're not.
Okay. I played a game called Power Walk Simulator. Didn't play for much, but if you have not heard of this game, it is like the most relaxing, low-key game. Though, as I'm sitting there cleaning this van and cleaning this yard, I'm looking at my own house going, maybe I should actually be cleaning my house.
You know, we don't need that. We don't listen. Good news was just a few minutes ago. We don't need that kind of negativity in this podcast. Listen, I'm.
But no, it is. You literally have a power wash and you are cleaning stuff. If you have PlayStation Plus, it was the free game either this month or last month. So if you subscribe to PlayStation Plus and you download those free games, you should have it in your library. My only complaint about playing it on PS5, I was very disappointed how very little haptics there were. I was hoping to feel like I was actually using a power wash, but they didn't do much with that. And no, it was a nice, relaxing game, and the goal is, the first level puts you cleaning a van, then you're cleaning someone's backyard, mm-hmm. and then I learned different parts of a motorcycle, because it's like, the brake shaft needs clean, and I'm like, I don't even know where the brake shaft is.
You know what? Listen, we love it. We love an educational experience around here, especially when it's not meant to be educational, right? Like, you know, that ambient education is a great deal. There's DLC for that game where you clean up like a big model of Midgard from Final Fantasy VII and SpongeBob's house.
SpongeBob, yep.
Final Fantasy VII, Tomb Raider, and there's a Christmas one, I guess, that just came out this last Christmas. That are free, so they're free downloads with the game. Or for paid DLC, I think it's only like $8, but you can get SpongeBob SquarePants and Back to the Future.
Okay, all right. I'm being real. Cleaning the DeLorean sounds like a pretty good idea. All right, so that is Power Wash Simulator. It is, this is like a whole genre, but I feel like of like insert really tedious task simulator, and it's like of those, I think Power Wash Simulator is the one that's caught the most people. And there's just something so satisfying about it.
House Flipper is another one that it doesn't have the word simulator in its title, but it's a house flipping simulator, and that one is really fun as well.
There's just so much right now. You have lawnmower simulator, farming simulator, Euro truck driving.
You got to be careful with farming
simulator. Like,
listen,
do the whole thing.
But and like I said, I think something about Power Wash Simulator. Yeah, man. Listen, I can't wait for the IntelliGame stream of Power Wash Simulator and talking about, you know, kind of deeper philosophical meaning behind what you're cleaning and et cetera. If anyone could pull that off, it was you, Josh. So, all right. So that's Jeff. Manda, tell us what you've been playing.
I've been playing a lot of Redacted, as per usual.
As per usual.
I love Redacted.
Man, Redacted is my favorite thing. We need to get me a t-shirt that just said, I actually just played Redacted.
When you come over next time, we can cricket that for you.
Yeah, we can do that.
I love that we can make that a thing for me. I love how crafty you are. That's true. I could do that with my business hat.
You have the whole outfit.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually.
We'll make it work. Next EFG Con, we're going to make Redacted. You know, we really should. We could also just make stickers. You know, that's true. We could just make I played Red Dead.
I don't know how to do that yet.
Oh, but there's I mean, you don't have to make those. There's a con. Anyway, so Amanda, you played Redacted.
Anyway, I played a bunch of Redacted that I can't talk about. But the game I can talk about is I actually started my single player playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3. So I have been playing it multiplayer with my dad and my partners for the last like month and a half, I want to say. Maybe a little longer than that. We just finished Act 1 in our multiplayer session. So I'm like, okay, now I can start my single player playthrough. So I rolled an elf monk because I've never played a monk in D&D before, ever. And all the many, good lord, I've been playing D&D for like 30 years. Never played a monk. So yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with that. Game is incredible. It's super cool to play it multiplayer, but it's also really interesting to play it single player because I get even more of the story. In multiplayer, you don't get like your companions, like they can't come with you. So in single player, I've just been really enjoying like going back to the camp and like talking to people who aren't in my party and like swapping people out and figuring out builds. It's just really interesting. It's a very different experience than playing it multiplayer. So I love it.
All right. I mean, listen, Baldur's Gate is one of those games, like, obviously not family appropriate. This is what's interesting. Like, this is a grown-up interpretation of Dungeons & Dragons. And, you know, Dungeons & Dragons by itself is not necessarily a family-friendly game. It really depends on how you do it, which is what we prove every other Monday on Cause of Destiny, where we prove that it can absolutely be more madcap than murder. But it's like... Baldur's Gate is a game I know I need to play it. I know I will absolutely love it, but I can only play so many grown-up games a year, and so I'm just kind of, I've missed the initial burst, so now I'm just waiting for a good sale, and I know once I have it, it's going to have its hooks in me, and then it's going to be a problemo. So, yeah, we're excited here for to hear about everybody loving Baldur's Gate 3. I can't wait to make a dwarf cleric. Because guess what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a dwarf cleric. Because guess what I do? I play clerics. Ask Linda. She knows. I play clerics. Almost exclusively. John, my man.
That's good, though, because I feel like every party I've ever been part of, you're trying to force someone to play the cleric.
So here's the thing. That's why I started playing healers. Because I felt bad that... in the Dungeons & Dragons games that I was playing in, it was always just because of the way it worked, it was always someone's girlfriend that got stuck being the healer. And they never wanted to be. They always wanted to be, like, something else. Like, a wizard or something interesting. And so I was like, you know what? I'll do it. I'll be the healer. Like, then nobody else has to. It just makes it easier. I find it actually makes it easier to get D&D games to start if they know the party already has a healer. And then it turns out, accidentally, I really liked it. And then it was off to the races.
I mean, I can vouch it. Playing a healer is really fun.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's true. Mega Mom in the chat saying she's a ranger. Obviously, you play a ranger, Mega Mom. I've met you and fictional versions of you. You play a ranger. So, anyway, yeah, very excited to play my dwarf cleric in Baldur's Gate. John, tell me, what have you played, good sir?
Well, I ran through Venba pretty quick last week. Loved it.
I mean, who doesn't?
It's a beautiful game and very touching the whole way through.
I love Venba so much. So I good. Devoured it when it first came out. Oh my gosh, and I cried.
Like that, and of the like small indie games, like that and Gone Home. Those two games had a lot of effect on me, and like Venba's one where I don't mind. I may go back and play it again, but it's really good. But RoboCop, Rogue City, which is very beautiful. It's on Unreal 5 engine, which is just insane. It's so pretty. And then trying to finish up Final Fantasy Crisis Core. I'm on 7 of 12 chapters. So hopefully by the end of this week, I'll have those two knocked out. So I'm just trying to churn through. There's so much I have to play.
It'd be like that. Oh, I don't know what just happened. Something fell. Oh, by the way, for our viewers, There, I made us a sticker.
I played Redacted.
What do you think, Amanda? What do you think?
Hold on. I'm going in.
I love it.
Coming to see. Yes! That's actually amazing. Perfect.
Guess
I played Redacted.
So we're going to, you know what? We're going to put this is going to be a little badge, right? We're just going to put that right there. And yeah, we're just going to put it right there for now. We'll figure it out. Hey, who knew that, leaving Canva open while I was podcasting would actually be really funny. Guess who's going to do that forever now? Okay. So RoboCop also not family friendly. Just like the movie wasn't. Is it RoboCop's one of those movies that was absolutely not for kids, but I feel like every kid watched it.
Oh yeah. I saw it in the theater.
I don't know.
I saw it in the theater. I saw Chucky in the theater.
Like, I
definitely didn't. I didn't watch it until I mock reviewed because I had consulted on this game, but I wasn't familiar with the story. I don't think I'd ever seen it before.
Oh, you're one of those. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, so I started watching it and I was like, okay.
This might
okay,
be an age
I understand.
Thing.
I mean,
but you,
maybe.
You get that it's like totally satire. It's the same guy that did
Delightful.
Starship
satire.
Troopers, same director as Starship Troopers, which is another,
yeah.
You know, satire of ultra violence. But,
so,
you know,
one,
I
so,
grew up in it.
So, what the point I wanted to make, and there's all sorts of stuff to say about RoboCop, but see, yeah. RoboCop is one of those things that, right, like, we. As, you know, Gen X, millennial, elder millennial, whatever we all are, right? We watched it when we were, I'm old. There's a lot of people that watched it. And this is something that I hear a lot, right? There's a lot of folks that talk very fondly about some of the movies that they saw when they were a kid, haven't seen in a very long time, and characters that have kind of become icons. And it's kind of like the Wolverine effect, where like Wolverine has been kind of like sanitized. Right. But like the actual character of Wolverine is not kid friendly. Like he is a bad dude. Same thing with like Deadpool. Right. Like Deadpool is one of those like, you know, he's not for kids, but like because he's funny and everybody loves Ryan Reynolds, you know, there were kids at the Deadpool movie when it's like not appropriate. So I will say RoboCop is a grown up game here, folks. Don't let nostalgia kind of kid-friendly wash your RoboCop, because RoboCop when it first came out was not for kids, and it's just we don't think about it that way, right? We think about it, oh, it's just 80s schlock, early 90s schlock, and that's true, but it ain't that way. So
no,
just to keep
it
in mind.
Isn't.
Now, with that said, you know your kids better than I do. You know the rules at EFG. We don't tell you what to do, but we're gonna give you the information so you don't do nothing by accident. So, I feel like we should put that on a t-shirt. We don't tell you what to do. We just make sure you don't do nothing by accident. So
put it on a sticker.
Put it on a sticker. Because it's my turn, so I can't make a sticker. So I played Pal World, everybody. Let's give me a round of applause. I played Pal World. Linda's like, why are we applauding Steve playing a video game? all right. Okay, so
the game that the whole internet has been playing. But
the whole internet just like exploded over the weekend. So Linda, here's what Pal World is. Pal World is Pokemon with guns, but it's not actually. When they showed us the trailer a year ago, I want to hear Josh, if he's still in the chat, I want to hear his thoughts on this too. So like when they showed us the trailer, it was just a bunch of Pokemon looking monsters with like machine guns and like craziness. And everybody was like, wow, it's just Pokemon with guns. And so it came out this past week to Steam and to Xbox Game Pass. And so I gave it a shot over the weekend. So did my oldest, actually. He put like 5 hours in over the weekend. He is all in on this game. I played it on Xbox. I didn't particularly like it, but I'm going to try it again on mouse and keyboard. I actually installed it on the PC. Here's what Pal World is. It's not what they say it is. And I kind of think it's kind of neat. It's a survival game at its core. So this is a survival game that's very Terraria, very Minecraft, very, Lego, Fortnite even, right? You're punching trees, getting materials, building stuff. There is a monster catching mechanic, and the monsters are absolutely legally distinct from Pokemon. And by legally distinct, I mean that in all caps. like just all caps, italics with like stars around it. Like there are some folks that are
no business hat today.
No business hat.
I'm not putting my business hat on.
I'm not gonna make you do it. There is discourse about this game, and if you want to go see it, you can go get it. I'm choosing to ignore it for now until I am given reason not to. And so the idea is they're legally distinct from Pokemon, but they look real. They're Pokemon. It is what it is. And so the idea is, I'll go read his LinkedIn. It's fine. But the idea here is this is a survival game, and you can capture these pals and you can have them work in your base, and they can kind of operate the farming and the mining on your base. And then you can also build a team and have them run around with you in real time and have them fight things with you. And yes, eventually you can equip them with guns. It's really interesting. The big thing to keep in mind is it's an early access, so there's a lot to wait for. I think that there is value in letting other people break themselves upon it while the team finishes development. If you have questions about the discourse, man, like go onto Twitter or go into any Facebook group about games right now, and there is someone yelling about it for a number of potentially valid reasons. There's some questions. The discourse has like moved through. Like first it was accusations about AI. Turns out those probably weren't true. Then there was some issues. There's a whole lot. Just if you care about that stuff, go look. Otherwise, it is an interesting video game, and it is one that we are likely going to be talking about until the end of the year, because either it's going to be a massive success that will continue to get development and releases for the remainder of the year, and people will continue to have problems with it, or they're going to get sued into oblivion and no longer exist. One of those two things is going to happen. We'll find out. But Pal World, it's on Xbox Game Pass, and it is... so that's why I played it. It was $0. And like I said, on Steam, it's not free on Steam. Sold a lot of copies on Steam too.
$27.
Yeah, I mean it's not $30, something like that. I mean it's not mind-numbingly expensive, but it's not free. So that's Pal World. I played it for like an hour and then bounced off of it and then went really bananas playing Rogue Legacy 2, which I cannot recommend enough. Turns out, Amanda, I learned that if I don't know what to play, this is a valuable lesson for everybody. You should all figure out like what your appetite is for like onboarding to a game. And I learned that when I don't know what I'm playing, like if I don't know what to play and I need to go find something where the time to core gameplay loop is like 2 minutes or less. Otherwise, my ADHD kicks in and I just bounce. And Rogue Legacy 2.
I played this too. It's so fun. Just dumb fun. Like,
yeah. And you're playing the game. Playing the game in 3 minutes in the core gameplay loop. Anyway, so those are all the games we played. Honestly, guys, that's a really good list of games. We got Baldur's Gate 3. We got RoboCop, Age of Wonders, Planetfall, killing it up on the board game side. Power Wash Simulator, which is not a new game, but has staying power because there's something satisfying about it. And then, you know.
And spraying power.
Yeah, and spraying power. That's true. Ooh, goodness. That's, I mean, you know what? I'll allow it. So, all right, let's get to our next segment. This is my new favorite segment of the show because I don't have to run anything. And that is where I pass the leader chair to Linda from Mom's Playlist for some board game stuff, usually. Linda,
pretty much.
Take it away. I don't have a screen for you yet, but I'm going to make a sticker. So.
All right. Sounds good. So for the Mom's Playlist segment tonight, in honor of that we are all in January, it is cold, it is nasty, it is getting dark early, the sun comes up late, I have some Blues Busters. So this is a perfect time of the year to get folks together and do a game night. And what better way to encourage your friends to come over than to have it be a theme. And I'm going to totally credit Marie for inspiring this idea. She had come up with it a few months ago about putting together some themes for game nights. So I have three themes. I'm going to go through them pretty quick. I do have show and tell. I pulled some of my games that match the themes, and these are just some ideas if you could.
Yes. We just have somebody asking for you to be a little louder, and I'm going to turn you up.
All right. And I'm going to bring my mic a little.
Yeah, I just turned you up. Josh, hit us up in the chat and let us know if that works. I'll be quiet. Linda, go.
All right. I will keep talking. Tell me if I need to increase my volume too. So, first category for our game night themes is for the foodie. And I was thinking to set the mood, it would be really easy to choose a food from one of the games that you're going to feature in your food night. So there's a ton of food themed games. And I just came up with a short list of just ones I have in my collection or that I've played recently. So first up on my suggestions, Taco versus Burrito. This is a really quick light game for the family. Another one that's great for the little kids that my kids played a ton of when they were little is Hoagie. And then Game Right, I'm going to feature them quite a lot. They've got a bunch of games that are food themes that are just phenomenal. We've got Abandoned All Artichokes. Of course, we can't forget to have your donuts. So Go Nuts for Donuts, which we absolutely, we played that so much. We've played that so many times just because the cards are so cute and the theme is so adorable. And last of the show and tell, but not the last on my list, anything in the Sushi Go theme. So I have Sushi Roll here, which is the second one they've put out of the big, like, different themes. But any of the Sushi Go, and if you like sushi like I do, it's a great excuse to have a sushi platter for that night. And the other way you could go with it, a game I don't own, but a friend of mine brought over recently, Theme It Up, A Feast for Dim Sun, which is featured over at Barnes & Noble. And my friends, of course, being gamers themselves, could not resist getting the upgraded version with the squishy components. And we really enjoyed playing that. So that's the foodie theme. I probably could have found 20 more games with a food theme. So depending on what kind of game you like, there are tons and tons of choices out there. Changing up the mood. It's cold and nasty, especially in New England. It's nice to think of beautiful nature. That is warm, especially. So my thought of setting the mood for this was if you like candles or you like diffusing oils, having that with a scent that is reminiscent of the outdoors, whatever that means to you, whether it's like an evergreen scent or something else. But there's lots of different scents you can go with. And some different games that are nature themed. Again, there's a ton out there. I've got Trails, and that one is super cute. The artwork is adorable on that. One that I've talked a ton about and highly recommend is Planted. And this one is similar to Spin Some for Dim Sun, has some great components that are just wonderful to handle and fidget with. One of my favorite games that I don't get to play enough of is Photosynthesis. And this one, you have trees going through their life cycle and you get points depending on where they are growing in the forest when you harvest them. And the components of this are just so pretty. The board is so gorgeous on the table. It's one that I go back to whenever I can. And the last of my show and tell for this is one that my kids absolutely love, Evolution, the beginning. There's others of the Evolution series, but there's very much a nature theme, looking to evolve your creatures to survive. Also other games out there that I don't own, but my friends own, that are wonderful. Planets from Blue Orange, where you're actually putting together and building your planets, and then Wingspan is always a great one to play.
We know, Amanda, you know I love a good engine builder.
And oh, Wingspan, I know you. I know.
And guess what? It's January 23rd. We are eight days away from the announcement for pre-orders for Worm Span. By the way, I put a sticker in the chat or into the thing. So we got Miles Play. You'll notice that's a record. I don't know if anybody the young folks in the chat don't know what that
never
is.
Never seen a record before.
I won't talk about my Holly Hobby record player I had.
Jeff,
when I was
a child. Do you know what that is? Have you seen a record before, Jeff?
That's like those really big CDs, right?
There's a lot of folks that thought
They play these, right?
Yeah, they do. Exactly, they do.
Look at that little cassette tape. Away we go.
From the group.
That's from the group. Yeah.
From the group. Yeah.
Comes with a cassette tape.
No, those are what Kevin records on in Home Alone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Megamom in the chat saying she used to play vinyl on a World War II era turntable with her grandfather. Oh, I think that is such a cool memory. What's wild? So within like a few months for me, she tells me that story, which is like, you know, old timey, wholesome, etc. Meanwhile, my middle son was asking for a record player so he could play Weezer on it. And I don't know where a 15-year-old heard about Weezer, but like, if I hear Buddy Holly one more time.
Does your middle child listen to the podcast? Can he hear me right now? Will he hear me?
He can. No, he will not. Okay.
So I'm so sorry. I bought the record player off for him off his list.
Oh, well, I mean, you know what? He'll be very excited.
But it plugs in, it has headphones, so he can listen and you don't have
to. Oh, you know what? Honestly, you know what it is he uses it as a taunt in Fortnite, because you can do that now. So if you beat a guy in Fortnite, you can stand over their body and play music. And so he plays Buddy Holly. So how embarrassing is that? Anyway, and we got Wallstormer in the chat saying he thought Wormspan was a joke. You know what? I think a lot of people, like, when the news broke, there were a lot of people who thought it was fake. And then slowly, like, people were like, nah, dude, it's real. And then it turned from, like, cool, wouldn't that be awesome, to wait, not only wouldn't it be awesome, like, but now it is awesome. And, oh, it's not announced for later for Kickstarter. It's coming in January for pre-order. And it's already, and the email that I got the other day says that it's at their distribution in the next couple of days, which means it's when people buy it, it's going to be out. So,
so what you're saying is that the worm turned.
The worm.
So
I was watching. Wait, hold on, Linda. Go ahead. So I got to see Askadelia, who's a TikToker that had a advanced copy, and she was going through the different cards in it. They are amazing. They're so cute. The artwork is just what you would expect. I was giddy watching her live going through these.
So, yeah, I mean, me too. I can't wait. I know I'm pre-ordering it. I'm racing. Linda and I have already talked about it. I'm going to be paying very strong attention. I know, Linda, you had another theme, but we're running low on time. So I'm going to, we'll move on. We'll do that one for the next one. Or maybe we'll just turn this into a blog post, because I feel like that's probably a post for the mothership. That's a really good post for the mothership, I think. So let's talk about some video games. Specifically, let's talk about 5 video games that were announced at the Xbox Developer Showcase that took place last week. You know what? I'm going to just say, I think it was a pretty cool show, man. They had they announced 5 games. 4 of them we knew about ahead. We at least knew that they were coming ahead of time, or at least they're, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden, random Square Enix popping out of the middle of it to freak everybody out, including me. So I'm just going to go through the list. First, Avowed. We got to see Avowed. And that is, Amanda, help me here. Avowed is coming from, who are?
Obsidian.
Well, Obsidian. Thank you. Thank you. Why could I not remember?
That's anyway. Okay. That's why you have my brain.
That's why I don't do this by myself. So Avowed is a fantasy action role-playing game. It felt to me like a more colorful and vibrant Skyrim, which really is not bad. I'm pretty excited about that. Anybody else have feelings about Avowed? It's coming out. They said that it's launching onto Xbox Game Pass this fall of 2024. I can actually, because I have magical powers, I can just kind of, let me get rid of our stickers, and then I'll put some art on the screen for us so we can all be looking at stuff. What are our thoughts on Avowed? Other than the key art that they put out there, like the logo treatment that just absolutely goes bananas with like this skeleton with the flowers and stuff all over it. Anybody have feelings, or am I alone?
I mean, I love Obsidian's games. I do. I've always loved Obsidian's games. So, like, I'm curious, but I am not going to, like, all aboard the hype train for it just yet.
Okay.
I think that's where I'm at. I'm curious, and I'd like to play it, but I'm not, like, choo-choo about it.
Would you say your eyebrow is raised, and you're just waiting to find out more?
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me more.
You know,
like,
what,
did he have a car or something?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, if all of a sudden this skeleton rolls out and just gets in a car for this game, then I think that actually makes the game cooler. You know what I mean? I know that was a Grease reference, but if this skeleton got in a car, I'd be all in. Linda, we know your husband's going to play the heck out of this game. You know, I'll have to loan him my Xbox, which I owe him actually for, so he can play. I owe him that so that he can play Starfield anyway. So we know he's going to play the heck out of it. This is one of those. I also want to know more about it. Specifically, I want to know its ESRB rating because we actually don't know yet. And the action that they showed so far was actually kind of tame. So this is kind of interesting where we might end up with like a rated T Skyrim. And that's kind of cool to me because you don't get a lot of first person RPGs that are not, you know, meant for the grownups. So we'll have to see. It depends on what they just, obviously it's up to them. The next game that was shown, and this was given a lot of time, and it is not for the kids, and that is Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 coming May 21st. Man. Mm. Listen.
It's so good. I've been waiting so long for this. Like, I think it took me like a day and a half to play the first one, and I was late to the game for that one. But, like, I cannot get... Whenever someone, like... What's an interesting game that just takes you to a totally different world? This game. Like, and it's only more. And short, too. Not that long. They're saying, what, 8 to 15 hours or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm down. Excited.
Yeah, we stay in a short game around here because we're grown-ups and don't have time. Amanda... I say as Amanda just stopped playing Baldur's Gate to podcast with me. But Amanda, you were making happy sounds about Senua's Saga Hellblade 2.
Always.
I feel like Senua's Saga is like Amanda game.
I mean, it definitely is. I think there's so many games that are like basically made for me. I hit so many different core demographics and psychographics. They're like, so we're just going to peek Amanda's journal real quick. And just so everybody's aware, it's right here. we're just going to peek right in there. So yeah, I mean, look, I love Ninja Theory and I love the games they make. I have been waiting mostly patiently with a soupçon of impatience for Hellblade 2. So I'm excited. The writing is exquisite. The combat's incredible. And yeah, so I am hashtag psyched.
Yeah. You know what? Me too. I'm excited about this one. You know, I honestly didn't play the first one, and I'm intending to. This is one of those, before May 21st, I'm going to play the first one, and then I'm going to play this one shortly thereafter. Because they're so short, I feel like I can do that, even though I don't have a lot of time. I feel like that would actually be kind of an interesting experience. The next game I want to talk about, so that's Hellblade 2. Not for the kids, but this is definitely one that you're going to want to throw your headphones on, play this one when the kids are in bed, because this is, you know, you're basically, it's a Viking woman with psychosis, done correctly because they, you know, kind of work with medical professionals and, you know, people with lived experiences. They actually called that out specifically in their talk, which I thought was very cool. And they also, you know, so I'm very excited to get my hands on that. The next game was a huge surprise. I stood up from my seat when I saw the logo and then I saw the game and went, oh, and that's Visions of Mana, which is coming this summer.
Yo.
My lord. Okay. So let me just bring the key art into the screen so that Linda, who is watching the stream, can see what I'm talking about. Linda, this right here is a Steve game. You know how like sometimes There might just some games that are for Amanda. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. Josh, you didn't know.
This is also a game for Amanda, though. Yeah, this is Amanda game, too. That's my secret. That's my secret.
Oh, well, hey, you know what? You know what, Josh? I'm glad I'm helping you out there, buddy. Yeah, so we got the first brand new, literally the first brand new Mana series game in 15 years. They've been doing a lot of remakes. They've been doing a lot of remasters. And I think now we understand why, because they've quietly been working on this. This is a big, bold, vibrant 3D action game with an open world, and they have cool doggos that are a cross between a corgi and a pangolin that you can ride as mounts. They've got giant mega attacks, and like this game is going to take over my life this summer. Here's what I'm really excited about. Yeah, corgolin.
I will come up and visit, or you got to come visit me. And then we do nothing but we play Visions of Mana for like a weekend.
Yes, please. Let's do it.
The answer is yes.
The answer to that is absolutely.
Coming to your house.
Let's do it. I'll tell the general. Listen, this house, nothing but me and Amanda playing Visions of Mana.
That's all we do.
What I'm really excited about, Amanda, this is what's really cool. This game is coming out this summer. Now, what's important about this summer for me is that in the end of summer is World of Warcraft, The War Within. But you know what that means.
Oh.
Content lull right before it, because that's how that stuff works.
That's true.
I'm going to be able to take some time off from Raid. I'm going to be in good shape because I got to play me some Visions of Mana. I'm super excited. Jeff, have you played any of the Mana games? Like, does this game look good? This feels like a Jeff game too.
Yeah. Secret of Mana is probably one of my top five games on the Super Nintendo. I love it. I will say the PlayStation 2 era and up, the games were kind of lackluster, but I feel like they put so much time in this. I'm super excited to go back to this. I'm still cautious because I know they haven't, besides these remakes and remasters, they haven't done the best with the series.
I just put an image of the doggo on the screen. For anybody that is interested.
I am optimistic, and yes. And I think it's coming to Game Pass, so I will definitely be playing it when it's released.
Here's what's really interesting, is I saw someone say that it's going to, but it's not. I went to the Xbox Wire, and they haven't said that it was, but it was showed off during an Xbox Developer Direct. I think obviously we're going to find out more. There's going to be a big preview window. I feel like this is one of those ones that if it is coming to Game Pass, they're going to tell us close, and it's going to be a very big announcement. Because this would be one of the first Square Enix games to come day one if it comes to Game Pass, if it does. At the very least, you know, it'll probably come eventually. But if it comes day one, I'm so excited. Yeah, I put a picture of the doggo in the chat. These guys are they go absolutely crazy. Next one, Amanda. Aura History Untold on PC Game Pass day one.
Okay. All right. So, for those that don't know, because they've never seen me stream before, and I'm in the chat right now as Ready Player Mama. But in case you have, hold up, I'm cooking. I'm cooking right now. So for those that have never seen me stream, do not know about Wrecking History. So let me give you a little bit of preamble here. So Wrecking History is something that Sarah LaBeouf and I did at the beginning of the pandemic because we missed each other and we were really bored. And we're like, hey, what if we played Civilization VI on stream? And I've been playing Civ games since 2, I want to say. I think that 2 is my first Civ game.
I seem to recall you telling me that, yes.
Yeah, I think it was 2. So I've been playing Civ for a heckin' long time, like a really, really long time. And I have hundreds, if not thousands of hours logged in everything from like Civ 2, 3, I think I missed 4. And then 5 and 6. So yeah, I used to do that every Wednesday. It was Wrecking History, and we played these sweeping campaigns in Civilization VI, and we did a history lesson alongside it so that you could learn a little bit more about the historical leaders And we could talk about, you know, why they were significant and important to that particular era in terms of what they contributed to military, to science, to culture, education, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, that was really, really cool. So that all that preamble to say, Ara looks incredible. It looks absolutely incredible. I keep staring at the coverage, and I just want the game so bad. So it was developed by former Civilization developers. It's like they took Civ and they're like, hold on, wait a second. We're going to take the things about Civ that don't quite work and we're going to make them better. We're going to make them different and we're going to try something completely outside of world history. We're going to do something that's fantastical instead and still manage to keep it somewhat grounded. So I am beyond excited because I have been itching for a great historical cultural 4X. And even if this isn't like technically historical to Earth, I need it. Like mm-hmm. here. Put it here. Yeah. Immediately. If not sooner.
Well, this fall 2024, it's coming. You know what's wild?
Immediately.
Here's the real you know what? The way this year is going already, because it's already almost not January, if you think about it. What's wild is I saw this, I knew Amanda was getting excited. I'm thrilled for it. Here's the thing
that me squeaking two states away.
I could. She's in Jersey, I'm in Connecticut. I heard literally her noise was shaking windows in my house. It was that.
It's true.
It was intense.
It's very much a banshee scream of excitement.
Yeah, and can I just say quietly, okay, this game looks like it's gonna be awesome and it's gonna be very awesome, but this is without question, kind of an appetizer, you know, because we know Civ 7 is coming.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then we're going to fully resurrect Wrecking History for Civ 7, clear.
But yeah, I can't wait for Ara. Ara is going to be great. Anybody else? Is anybody else as excited? No one's else as excited about him.
No one's as excited as
Amanda is. I think, I think I got an idea for a game.
All right. Talk to me.
That might draw some excitement from other folks other than you and me in this chat. Amanda, how about Indiana Jones and the Great Circle?
I could die.
Linda, unmute yourself. Continue. I know you're an Indiana Jones girl.
Yes. I grew up with Indiana Jones. I am a huge fan of the property and enjoy it anytime I can watch gameplay or play a board game of that.
Okay, well, what do you mean watch? You could play this game. You have hands. You got a controller. You got. It's coming to. It's coming to Linda, Xbox. I'll just have to loan you an Xbox.
Look, we can play it together over Discord. I can control it, and we can do this together. We'll just
tag team it. Oh, that's a stream. Yeah.
It's true. We could do that. Maybe we could just group play it together. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. This is an action game from the people that made Wolfenstein. Go figure. They just like dudes that beat up Nazis. That's really what they do. And you know what?
I'm on board with that.
Exactly. So this takes place between Empire Strikes Back is Star Wars. The Temple of Doom and the Last Crusade. Listen, you know what, guys? I just damaged my nerd cred real hard.
It takes place between Empire Strikes Back and Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Really? Yeah, exactly. my wife is judging me.
Psychic damage I didn't need at all.
The general is judging me right now. And you know what? It's part of the MCU also. So, and its prequel is the 1986 Transformers movie. So, listen, don't make fun of me. I say the wrong words sometimes, okay? It takes place before the Last Crusade and after the Temple of Doom is what they said during their thing. And I'm really excited because it's a first-person Indiana Jones game. And there was some discourse about this, and I actually agree with the comment that was made that if they made this a third-person action game, all people would have been doing was comparing it with Uncharted.
Yes, and that's correct. They make the right choice.
Their number one goal was they had to make it different from Uncharted, and I think they did by making it a first-person game. Also, all they make are first-person games. So
it's machine games, for crying out loud. Yeah, exactly. Like, hello.
So what I really want to know, because, Linda, you can fight with the whip. I want to know, and you can not only can you fight with it, but you can navigate the world with it. It's wild. So I'm really excited to see how this game plays. They described it as being a lot more puzzle-centric than I am particularly interested in my first-person action games. But they said that that the majority of the puzzles will be optional and environmental, as opposed to it being a true puzzle game. But obviously there will be puzzles in it. So maybe it'll work out to be in like a first person, like Zelda experience, where there's like a couple of big puzzles for each like major dungeon. I don't know. You got our boy Troy Baker is doing the voice for Indiana Jones. It doesn't really sound like
sounds pretty good. It's pretty good.
I mean,
it does.
It's not indie. Like, it definitely, like, okay, I played the trailer for The General, and she was like, that's not indie. Who is that?
Okay.
And I
was like, well. Okay, pause for a second. His version of indie is better than old Harrison Ford trying to play young indie for the deep fake from the movie that came out.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet. Is it distressing? Is it like, am I going to cringe myself into an early grave if I watch
it? It's only the first 10 minutes. It's only the first 10 minutes. It's a flashback, and it's old Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford voicing Indiana Jones, and it's old Harrison Ford.
Well, like, I mean, they probably could have cleaned up his voice. Anyway, so
it could have.
It is, you know what, this is one of those things that some of us may just have to let some of that stuff go. Yep. And honestly, I think footage, like this is early development stuff. Like there's still time to, maybe not early development, it's coming later this year, but still, there's still time to go. And everything they showed us looked absolutely stunning. I cannot wait to get my hand on Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. The one thing we did not see is an ESRB rating, and so it'll be very interesting to see where this one falls. And what's funny is we're like the only people who care about that. Like this is what I love about the Engage Family Gaming podcast is like I think about and I bring it up in interesting places with like not us, like not the five of us, and they're like, why would you bring, like, why do you care what its ESRB rating is? And then I just kind of like I want to like show them my badge,
big reasons,
and be like, maybe because it matters. And it really does, because, you know, it is anybody who has played Final Fantasy X and then played Final Fantasy 16 knows that there is a difference between a T-rated game. And there's Harry a difference Borge. Between a T-rated game and an M-rated game. And I kind of like the idea of indie being a T-rated kind of romp, honestly.
I kind of do too, to be honest. Well, I really do.
Uncharted, even though it was a murder fest.
Uncharted is T. And you know what? I didn't realize it. It's another one. It's another one. I thought we
talked about it. Yeah.
And I didn't realize it.
I had to look up that in real time on an EFG show back in the day.
We did. We had to look it up. So anyway, so that's Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. I also think the Great Circle is a really cool name for an Indiana Jones story.
I just want to say I'm excited to play this game, but you are going to hate me. I've never seen an Indiana Jones movie.
Well, you're young.
Why would anyone hate you over not watching movies? We don't do that in this house.
We don't do that around here. We don't do that. No. Now, with that said, they are all on Disney Plus, so you could watch them at any time.
But... honestly.
Who hasn't seen Indiana Jones?
Raiders.
We don't judge people here.
In this house. It was Jeff, though. Seriously, Raiders holds up very, very well. It really does. Actually, all three of the original movies hold up really well over time. I actually saw Raiders in the theater for the first time before I left Vancouver in 2017. And I got to tell you, seeing it in theater was absolutely amazing. It was so good. I got to have like a beer and I had my grilled cheese because it was a grown-up theater. And it was just awesome.
That actually sounds pretty awesome
to me. It was so good.
They've always been on my list of movies I want to watch one day, but then with all, you know, new stuff coming out, it's just been so hard to go.
definitely carve out a little bit of time as like research for video games.
Yeah, I think it's worth it to, you know what, honestly, it's worth it to watch at least one of them. Like, I don't think that you need to watch like all of them.
Raiders. At least.
Yeah. I think Raiders is the key. Star Wars, you kind of need to watch all of them, because like it's a collective saga, that kind of thing. Like, I think if you're going to do it, you may as well just dive in. But like and I say that as someone who watched all of them for the first time like 8 years ago or something like that at this point. So
my only connection to Indiana Jones is sophomore year of high school playing Raiders of the Lost Ark, the music at Disney World.
I mean, that's a pretty cool connection.
Okay, that's cool. I like that.
You're from Iowa, man. You're from Iowa, right?
Yes.
So like that's a cool trip. I'm just saying. Listen. So anyway, we had a couple comments in the chat. Mega Mom saying that she's excited for Indy. I think a lot of folks are. I think the response to that was actually really good, with the exception of some folks being upset for no reason, but it's the internet. She also recommends a name for the cat, Kitten Kadabble, is the name. And you know what? We will consider that strongly for because I think, you know, we have some ideas for our new Twitch mascot. So hey guys, we did it.
We did it.
We made it through one more episode of the Engaged Family Gaming Podcast. Look at that. We got Groot without a head, and he's got a tape cassette standing next to him. Oh, all right.
What's that?
No, I'm just kidding. And his little place and his little sign. Look at that. So, this was, you know what, guys, I loved the energy this week. This was great. We had a new chatter, in Wallstormer hanging in. Thank you for coming to us. I'm very likely from Twitter is where I'm guessing you came from. So that was very great. Mega Mom was here while she was playing Venbo, which was a great treat for us to know that our recommendations were of value. We absolutely love that. So, we will be back next week on Monday for another episode of the Coils of Destiny, which is going to feature even some more stream upgrades, because this last week we upgraded our overlay with some new cool images, which was great. Next time we're going to have some new maps and some new... It's going to be... We're every week...
Rolling it out.
Every week, people are going to get to see new and interesting stuff, new animations.
Maybe some stickers.
I mean, definitely stickers. There's definitely going to be stickers. It's also worth mentioning, next week will be when my producer will be helping, and also helping DM with me. So that's going to be a fun little trip. We will explain more about that on Monday, because as I've always said, DMing and producing a show, very, very hard. So I enlisted some help, and it's going to be fun for me. Everybody, until next week, I hope you have a great week. And until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll see y'all soon. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.